You may have your seats. Glory to God. Amen. So we're going to continue our study on the sayings, the hard sayings of Jesus. And today we're going to read our text, Matthew 5:44. Who wants to read that? Matthew 5:44. Andrea, you want to read that? Yes, ma'am. Matthew 5:44. Just stay right there, and you'll read Matthew 5:43 in a short time. So, yes, ma'am. And Leviticus 19:18. Justin, Leviticus 19:18. Mark, you want to get Deuteronomy 6, verse 5? Sis, Matthew 22:36 through 40. John, you want to get Luke 6:28? Who wants to get Romans 12:21? Anton, Romans 12:21. Proverbs 25. Who wants to get that? Proverbs 25. Yeah, Proverbs 25:21 and 22. Then we have two more. Matthew 5:45. Just stay right there, and that way you'll read. Yeah, so you'll read 44 first, then 43, then you'll read 45, okay? And that's towards the end. And the last one is Luke 23:34. Who wants to get that? Amen. John. Matthew 22:36 through 40. So this morning, Jesus says, go ahead and read.
But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
See, human nature likes to take vengeance, right? If you hurt me or anybody around me, guess what I'm going to do? See, it's human nature or an impulse to pay someone back for what has been done to you. But Jesus here in our text, he brings a whole totally different analogy. He commands his disciples to not hate your enemies, but to love them. 5:43.
You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.
See, as it was said, before Jesus came, it was customary, like it is in today's, if you don't know Christ, customarily it is there that you, listen, if people do wrong to you, you're going to do wrong to people. See, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This came out of Leviticus 19:18. Who got that?
Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Amen. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might.
So these two verses are where Jesus comes in Matthew, right here, Anton. In Matthew 22, 36 through 40, here is Jesus speaking that these are the two greatest commandments. Go ahead.
Sorry. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments.
So, in these, see, it was placed because they wanted to come in and say, which one of these? But Jesus throws that curveball. How many know that Jesus always threw that curveball? He always threw that monkey wrench where it was instilled. Here in these two commandments, Jesus never gave an order or a command for you and I to hate our enemies. How many know that? But who is our neighbor? So if I were to ask you the question, who is our neighbor? Who is that person? Okay. Who is our neighbor? Open it up for the forum. Who would be our neighbor? Everybody that we encounter, who is our neighbor? Anybody else? See, our neighbor is one that is common to us, right? One that we know. It can be a family member. It can be somebody around us. It can be a coworker. It can be those are our neighbors. Someone that is close to us. Someone that you and I this morning could possibly associate with. If it is only our neighbor that we are to love, how many know that that list of people is not going to be a broad list? It's going to be a narrow list. Jesus said that we are to love our enemies just as we love, or that we are to love our enemies just as we love our neighbors. So in other words, that person that is making you mad, that is the person next door to you that you cannot stand, you are to love them. That person that has been a thorn in your side, you are to love them. That person that comes in and just makes your life a living, miserable day, guess what? You are to love them. So it's easy to love people that we are associated with, right? It's easy to enjoy a time of fellowship with people that we are in, that we are common with. Somebody that we associate with. Jesus said, as you love them, you are to love your enemy. How many know that that hits people right in that place where that place in your heart where it's there for you to put them in the list of no-nos, right? See, the difficulty in loving your neighbor is in a sentiment, a feeling. It is the word love. 1 John 3:18. Who got that? Anybody get that? Who did I give that to? 1 John 3:18. Somebody get that for me. Yes, ma'am. Right here. 1 John.
Dear children, let not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions.
So, you know, I think you and I grew up in the same thing where it was hard to really express ourselves, right? That's why I say we grew up. Because, No, I'm saying that we grew up in the same environment. Don't get me to go down that rabbit hole. Let's move on. Glory. My dad never told me I love you. My mom, when I would tell her, I would say, Mom, I love you. She says, I don't. Bluntly, and then laugh at my face. So when it came, now I'm married. Listen, I'm married. My wife is one that is, her love language is words of affection. So she comes and she tells me, I love you. Okay. That was my response. Okay. She says, no, you're supposed to tell me you love me too. Okay. You love me too. Right? So that's the environment that it was so hard that when it came for me to come in and my wife's love language is words of affection, that when it came down for me to tell her I love her, now I can say, baby girl, I love you. But it was hard. Because Jesus said there in that text, let us not love in words or speech only, but in deed and in truth. So you can't just tell me you love me. You got to show me you love me. Because that word can be thrown very, very loosely. I love you. I love you. But show me now. Show me that you love me. Don't just tell me. Not in words only, but in deeds and in truth. See, our feelings that you and I have towards a person is not necessarily the most important thing. Luke 6:28 is going to explain that to us.
Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you.
So those that come in and give you every word in the book that's not supposed to be repeated, you are to love them. You are to love them. You talk to Jesus. You ask him, Lord, is that supposed to be from afar or from a close? Pray for those that persecute you. So those that want the worst, that have the worst intention for you, Father, I pray for them. I just lost everybody right there. I just completely lost everything. Alexander White, he said, he brings, and there's this illustration, those were put into practice, assure that he will, she will be persistent in prayer for someone whom we don't like. So in other words, This is telling you and I that even though you might not enjoy or like or be in their company, you still have to pray for them. See, if you and I practice this, can I tell you it's not an easy thing to do? Can I pray for them from afar? Can I like them from afar? Listen, it's not easy. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's something that is the easiest thing to do, because it's not. It's something that is very, very hard. But if we do this, it'll begin to change our attitude that we have towards people. He writes that he had to share a house with a man whom he found to be unendurable. In other words, he could not stand him. But he wrote this. See, when he wrote these words, what he did is he began to pray for him until he was able to write these words. He said, "The next morning, I found it easy to be civil to my neighbor. I felt that today I would live to love that man." Where before he couldn't stand him. You know the best way to destroy an enemy? Anybody, what would be the best way to destroy an enemy? Huh? Love? Okay. Amen. If the best way to destroy an enemy is to turn him into a friend. Oh, Jesus. We're going to have to go through this again. To turn him into a friend. But Pastor, I don't like that person. Romans 12:21. Who got that? Okay.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Do not be overcome by evil. In other words, don't have bad intentions. I mean, listen, I'm not saying it's easy, okay? But it is doable. Proverbs 25:21-22. And this is what John just said right now.
If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee.
See, burning coals might be a sense of shame which will be produced in the enemy, leading to a change of heart on the other side also. So as your side changes, can I tell you? The other side changes. Isn't that easy? Both sides, they change. See, loving people who love you is natural. Can I tell you? If I enjoy your company and you enjoy my company, it's going to be a mutual agreement that we are going to enjoy one another. Loving your enemy is not natural, but supernatural. Because that's only something that God can do in our heart. Because he needs to change what's in here. Because what's in here is natural. But what's in here is supernatural. See, what's in the mind is human instinct and human cultures. See, why do we think this morning that loving your enemies is one of the hardest things to do? Let's get input. Let's get a mic. Why do you think that loving your enemies is one of the hardest things to do?
It's uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable?
It's uncomfortable.
It doesn't make you feel right, right? It's like you're on an edge. Anybody else? Let's get some input. ¿Por qué piensan que amando a el enemigo o a alguien que no queremos es una de las cosas más duras que podemos hacer?
It runs cross-grained to what we're taught in our culture.
It doesn't go with it, right? Anybody else? ¿Quién más? Right here? Mark and then Bea.
I guess it would be hard to love somebody who's hurt you.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because you rather take vengeance, not show love. Yeah.
It puts you in a vulnerable position.
It makes you open to possibly more. Did you have a comment?
I was gonna say we connect it to the offense. So it's like when we see the person, we remember the offense. And then instead of seeing them with love, it's like we're processing the hurt from the event. Yeah. So.
And how many know this morning that if you were hurt or trampled on, you don't want to get trampled on again? There's a saying, you fool me once, shame on me. You fool me twice, shame on you. Right? So when that event, like Pastor said, happens, now we don't associate anything else with the face or the person. All we associate everything is with the event, and I do not want that thing to happen again. See, hating your enemy was not a command that God gave in anywhere in the Word of God. It was a human addition. See, love this morning involves a choice, not a feeling. Because we associate everything with how I felt. But it's a choice. We have to make a decisive choice. See, loving involves a choice, not a feeling, an action, not an approval, and grace, not a retaliation. That goes back to how do you turn an enemy? You make them a friend. Because if you show that person grace, can I tell you, it'll change the whole atmosphere. I mentioned before about a gentleman that used to go by, and there was a situation where he was literally going to fight me, where I'm talking fight me. And I didn't react the way he was reacting towards me. And because of that, things in the process of time began to change. He wouldn't cuss at me no more. He would come up and greet me. Hey, how you doing, Barajas? Where if you saw the way that he acted with everybody else, you would be like, man, this guy's crazy. But can I tell you, because I showed him love, and I didn't react or retaliate the way that he acted towards me or everybody else, when he would come and come around me, he'd be like, "What's up, Barajas?" But see, something changed in his life because I didn't retaliate how he came upon me. See, he was always used to, if he was rude to people, people were rude to him. People would, this guy got into an actual fight there in minus 25 degree weather in the freezer. Fist fight. I'm talking fist fight. Because in the freezer there at my work, when I was working, the managers, it was too cold for the managers. They wouldn't hardly go in there. So, amen, it was like Vegas. What happened in the freezer stayed in the freezer. Right? And listen, but I'm bringing this because he always, the way that he treated people, people treated him. I did things different. And because I did things different, it became different towards me. Matthew 5:45.
So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust.
Can I tell you, God is not a respecter of person. God is not a respecter of person. The rain falls on the just and also on the unjust. See, anyone this morning can love friends, but only one that has a new heart and a changed heart can love an enemy. See, Jesus prayed for his enemies. The enemies that were there crucified him. Luke 23:34. Allá atrás.
Father, then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
You have to imagine, folks. Jesus is here. They scourged him. They've beat him. They've spat on him. Listen, can I tell you? I don't know, but human nature, you can do a whole lot of things, but how many would say that spitting on people is one of the worst things that can possibly be done? But yet Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Judas, who would betray him with the most intimate thing that a person could do, with a kiss, Jesus loved Judas all the way to the very end. He told him, "Listen, Judas, you're going to be the one that is going to betray me." But he didn't tell him, "Judas, you're going to have to stay over there in the corner away from me." He kept them close. He didn't show any difference. The people that mocked him, Jesus still extended his hands in love and embrace. So we're going to close with this question this morning. What makes this command so difficult? And I think we've already said it, but let's go ahead and answer it again. What makes this so difficult this morning? So what makes loving your enemy so difficult?
I feel like at one point when I was struggling with this, I felt that I wanted control what was going on with my feelings.
thing.
So it's, yep. Valerie?
I think pride, you know, I think pride. I think that's hard, right? To, you know, in your mind and your flesh, you want to react a certain way. Sorry. Yeah, pride. You want to react a certain way, you know, but you can't. You're a Christian. You're born again. You just can't do that.
So you can't act the way you want to. There's a saying, you can take the man from the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto from the man. Right? We can't be that way no more. Why? Because we're made anew. So the way that you acted pre-Christ, you're not that person anymore. We have to be able to show one thing, and that is an embrace to two people that might not necessarily be the same towards you. And that goes against everything that we have ever been taught. Because everything that we have ever been taught is, if people are nice to you, you be nice to people. Jesus says, two commandments. Amen. Love your God with everything within you and love the neighbor as yourself. That threw a turn in people's lives and they couldn't understand it. Just like people today, they battle with that same thing over 2,000 years later. Because of the fact that you opened yourself up, and it's that wound that began to heal is going to possibly be opened once again. We have service at 11. God bless you.